What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Pucks in 7 with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
Every time we do these, I always interrupt. The last few times, it's been okay. We're getting closer to the playoffs. Deadline's come and gone. The team knows who they have for the rest of the season, then hopefully into the postseason. I start with this one. And what it is we'll get into the Devils in a second because of their great goaltending and Jake Allen. So I'm just going to say right off the top, Vic, of this podcast, before you really get into it, at least for a debut, I stand corrected. The Devils have found their goalie. Okay, so that's enough of the podcast. We're going to go on. I'm just telling you, man, last time we did this, I said to you, oh, are you kidding? I went on and on and on, and now everyone says, oh, the Devils' goaltending's fixed. How are you?
You're talking about Jake Allen, obviously.
Yeah.
And the fact that he played reasonably well enough against the Dallas Stars.
I'm playing. Because it's just everything
actually,
reading
we will
about
get,
it.
We will get to the Devils in a bit because they're still somewhat in the mix of what we're looking at in the Eastern Conference. But we're going to get that. Do you want to first start off with what's going on or what isn't going on with the Detroit Red Wings?
Yes, absolutely. What is not going on? By the way, Pucks and 7, Ryan Payne, Victoria Matiash, brought to you by DamonBarber.ca. Log on to DamonBarber.ca. For 25% off all their fantastic products. Again, Damon Barber Canada, part of this podcast going forward. We'll go west in just a bit. I read Patrick Kane's comments about the fight that happened in practice with the Red Wings. And Patrick Kane essentially said, well, it's kind of good this thing didn't happen during the game or something like that. It's okay. You see the emotions and some guys are blowing it out of proportion. But I'm absolutely convinced, not just even based on that, that, yeah, the wheels are falling off in Detroit. And the wheels are falling off for a whole bunch of different reasons, not the least of which is the fact that Patrick Kane is not scoring. And Patrick Kane's point production is not as good as it used to be. What do you think of, in practice, the heat of the battle, you're battling for the puck, emotions get the best. Do you think that there's something wrong with that if two guys, same team, go at it and just basically, look, we're frustrated, I don't like this. Do you think there's anything wrong with that?
I don't mind it at all because, first of all, it's not like they pounded, you know, the stuffing out of each other. It was a bit of a tussle. Of course, we're talking about Lucas Raymond and Ben Chiarot, defenseman for the Red Wings, a forward for the Red Wings. They went at it in practice. It was caught on camera. I don't think that they wanted that to happen. But everybody has a cell phone these days, folks, so it's going to get videotaped whether you like it or not. It was obviously released. We've all had a look at it. I didn't mind it at all, especially from the get-go. I was hoping, though, for the Red Wings' sake, that they would use it as a little bit of inspiration. They would use it as a launching pad going into and facing the Arizona Coyotes later on. And it didn't work. I really thought that this might be a rallying point just before they were hosting the Coyotes on Thursday.
Yeah, and the Coyotes, last time I checked, aren't that good.
They're not, and they lost. They lost 4-1 to one of I'm not going to say worst teams, but a non-contending team in the NHL. And that's not how you want that to play out. And it can't all be that Dylan Larkin isn't playing. No. Even though they haven't won a single game since he's left the lineup, but there are too many other players on that team. Dylan Larkin doesn't play 60 minutes. He plays a lot. He usually plays 18 or 19, but that can't be the only reason. But if we're talking, you just mentioned Patrick Kane isn't scoring. Other people aren't scoring. The goaltending has been, Alex Lyon, who's been terrific all season, has been atrocious in recent play. And that you can't lay that on Dylan Larkin's absence either. So this is going sour really, really fast. We always talk about, not only in hockey, but in sports in general, how a week, 2 weeks can make all the difference. And we're seeing that unfold right now, just in a matter of days. The Red Wings were in a playoff spot. They're not right now. And it doesn't look like they're going to get back into one anytime soon.
No, not at all. And you mentioned Kane. So Kane, he was on that 10-game point streak last month where he scored 15 points. It began against Vancouver on the 10th of February. 6 goals, 9 assists. It ended March 3rd against the Panthers. And then since then, he's not been good. Wings have not been good. He went pointless in four straight, ended the streak with a game against Buffalo. He did get an assist. They did do the two shutouts Detroit did. Then they face Arizona and they do lose. I was looking to when you were just talking about the losses that they've had in this seven-game skit. It all started after an 8-3 win over Washington. Now, Washington, look, they're not the greatest team, but they're better than Arizona. They're better than these other clubs. They lose 5-3 to the Islanders, and then they end up losing 4-0 to Florida, then Colorado. They lose to Arizona 4-0, 5-3 to Vegas, 7-3 to Buffalo, 4-1. They've lost 8-1 in the last two meetings against Arizona, Victor. That is terrible. It would be fine if you get blown out by Colorado. Avalanche are great, no problem. Lose a tough one to Vegas, 5-3. Get shut out by the Panthers 4-0. Wow. When you score one goal and give up eight in two games against Arizona, I'd fight anybody on the ice during practice.
Because
you know me, I'm a fighter. Yeah. I'm a fighter. Yeah.
If there was the
imagine me in a fight in the ice,
on the violent person that I know in my life, that would probably be you. Anyways, right. Yeah, you're not okay. Not much of a anyway.
Yeah,
not very aggressive. You there is not a light at the end of the tunnel, but looking ahead, it doesn't look too poorly right now because they do have a chance to get back at the Sabres after this earlier week, the 7-3 loss earlier, which they're going to still be smarting from. That's going to be their opportunity on Saturday. And then they face the Penguins, who are struggling, and then they face the very bad Blue Jackets. Mm-hmm. So they actually have three opportunities now to turn this ship around, or turn the car around, we should say, because of Motor City. They do have the opportunity to make things right. They're right on the outside looking in. I mean, they're not in a playoff spot, but they're tied for points with the Islanders, who are. So it is not lost.
Right.
But they got to turn it around now.
Which, if you think about it, is crazy because they've lost seven straight. That they're not out of this thing, right? If you think any team's going to lose seven or, you're going to be 5, 6, 7 points back, but you're tied in points. Islanders have a game in hand. They've lost two in a row. Anyway, come on, Detroit, let's go. Toronto, Joseph Woll coming back. And I said this right off the bat. I think I said this to you when he did come back for Toronto. I said, you cannot give the net up from Samsonov. You can't give it to Joseph Woll. Joseph Woll was the number one basically in the season. Samsonov struggled. Totally get it. You cannot give the number one with any goalie coming in. Who cares if it's Jeremy Swayman coming back? When your goalie is 13-2 in the last 15 starts, you cannot give that net up, and it's not. I love seeing this, and Samsonov could be on any team in the NHL, all 32, it doesn't matter. The fact is, what he's come from, where he's come from, what he's gone through, and where he is at now, I really hope for his sake, personally, he keeps going.
You know what I really appreciate about this this recent stretch from Samsonov? I'm talking recent, not since the mid-winter meltdown where things looked very dour.
He
came out from that, and that was great, and we've been celebrating that ever since. But in very recently, he got blown out a couple of weeks ago by the Vegas Golden Knights. Yeah. And that was after a good stretch of success. And then what did he do, Ryan? He came back and he bounced back and he won four straight. So this shows the resiliency and the commitment he has right now and how he also feels good.
Right.
William Nylander said the other day that he's got his swagger back. And if you see him, you watch him for 5 minutes, you and I can tell he definitely has his swagger back. And even though it's a little unfair that Joseph Woll actually just got back-to-back starts against Boston, I mean, that's a tough, especially the way the Leafs have played Boston.
Yeah.
But I'm with you, though. You got to roll Joseph Woll out there a little bit because he has to be limber and set and ready as well.
Sure.
But the net belongs to Sammy. There's no question.
And there's no way, too, that he would have rebounded from that loss to Vegas if it was back in December, right? And it wouldn't have happened that way. Yeah. Mentally, he would have just been, nope, you know what? I'm going to lose two and then three and then four and whatever. So, and right now, too, look at the standings. It's a three-team race in the Atlantic, the Panthers, Bruins, and Leafs. Right now, there's a difference between 8 points between Tampa in that first spot in the wild card, and then Toronto in that third spot in the Atlantic. So I'm going to just say it. Yeah, unless something completely goes off the rails, Florida, Boston, Toronto, those three will navigate themselves through the Atlantic division for the rest of this season.
One little extra nifty doodle bit on this, what we're talking about, the Maple Leafs.
Sorry,
and the
hold on, hold on. Extra nifty doodle bit? Okay. Mattyisms. I haven't had, listen, Vic, I have not had one of those from you in a while. Carry on.
Okay, one nifty doodle bit to look at in the Atlantic. I was having this conversation with somebody just in the last couple of days, and they're like, well, the Boston Bruins have the number two spot all wrapped up, you know, or like one or two. Panthers and Bruins are fighting for the top two spots. And then I'm looking, and I'm like, hold on one second. I understand that the Maple Leafs are several points behind the Boston Bruins. I think it's 9 right now. But mm-hmm. they still have 3 games in hand. I know you have to win the games. Everybody wants to say that.
Yep.
But that is potentially 6 points. And I know they don't play each other anymore, but Boston has been a little bit this and a little bit that. In fact, the Maple Leafs have been more successful than the Bruins of late, except for when they play the Bruins. So I am not conceding that second spot to the Boston Bruins or say the Florida Panthers and saying that the Leafs are stuck in number 3 or worse if they do something tragic happens, they tumble further down. I'm not saying that yet. We just saw what happened to we just talked about the Detroit Red Wings. There's no reason that can't happen to another team. I don't think it's happening to the Panthers, but the Bruins, let's say they go 3-7 in their next 10 and the Leafs are 8-2. All of a sudden, this is a completely different conversation. I just wanted to get that out there.
No, I agree. So we'll see. Again, it ain't over till it's over, right? In game 82, it could decide a lot of things by the time we hit that mark for a lot of these teams in the top 3 in each of those divisions in the NHL. Let's hear from Evgeny Kuznetsov, because this is just an absolutely fantastic story. Spent 26 days, or he first of all, here's what happened. He ended up scoring. He did the bird, too, after he scored for the Carolina Hurricanes. He's been grateful for that amazing opportunity being given to him. Here's what he said after, and then we'll get into it.
I haven't had the feelings for a long time, and thank you guys for everything. That's huge. And guys, and inside the team, been so welcome. Everybody trying to help me, and you know, I'm just trying to be me, enjoy it every day, and work hard.
So that was post-game comments, and we actually have to thank the Carolina Hurricanes broadcast for those. It was really neat, to watch him score his first goal. He's had opportunities in his first few games playing on an excellent line in Carolina. But after what happened with Washington, the big breakup, and all the rest of it, to see him come back, score the first goal, also celebrate with his patented bird move that we haven't seen in a really long time. And it was really nice to see again. The gratitude is just steaming off this guy in clouds. He hasn't had a single interview since he joined the Hurricanes without mentioning how grateful he is.
Right.
And then to actually see the storm surge after the game, a big win for Carolina, shout out of the Panthers actually, and to see them all do his bird move together. I'm telling you, I choked up a little bit. I may have had a couple glasses of wine last night, and I choked up a little bit when that happened. I have to be perfectly honest, but it was lovely to see, and it's lovely to see him back and the way he speaks. Not only those comments earlier, he said it was really important for him in between periods to score his first one, get it, and the win was more important than anything else. He doesn't care about scoring so long as the team wins. It's saying all the right things. You can really root for this guy, and it's nice when somebody hits. I'm not going to say rock bottom because I don't know what happened to him.
But he
hit the skids. We can say that. And to come out the other side of it, healthier mentally, emotionally, and now playing for a team that wants him, it's a beautiful story.
His last game as a member of the Caps was January 27th, and that was the first multi-point game for him after 26 days in the NHL and the PA Player Assistance Program. And to your point about, look, he's always been a great player to me. He's got a great finish, very silky smooth. And for Carolina to do this, if he can even do half of this stuff over the next number of games for the Carolina Hurricanes, we talked about the Panthers and the Bruins and the Maple Leafs, the battle for 1-2-3 in the Atlantic. Really, right now, it's the Rangers and Canes battling 1-2 in the Metro. But this is a huge thing for Carolina. It was a great pickup, and I love it. And you're right. When he is grateful, when you're grateful even more so now to play the game of hockey and to get a second chance, a lot of times these stories end up with a really nice ending. So let's hope.
I think it feels far more special for him now than it ever has before. Guaranteed.
Some teams we have been pining on to try to get going again, and we look at them and think, okay, they're fine. And then they go in the dump, and then they come back. The Buffalo Sabres. Is this team still in contention? Nice snort.
This is just so Sabres. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like
they do it every year. They do it every year. They start well, then terrible, then they put on a big storm surge like Carolina.
A couple of weeks ago, you and I are basically pouring one out for this team, and just like it's not happening.
They were 12 points out of the race a month ago.
It's not happening. We weren't being hysterical. We were not being unrealistic. We weren't taking anything away from the Sabres team. And then all of a sudden, they're just stringing together wins again. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen is playing fantastic. They're contributing as a team in front of them. There's no stars right now. It's not like Tage Thompson has gone on a huge tear. This has been a massive group effort, but they're winning games. And now, hey, look there now. They're 3 points out of a wild card spot. It's just so Buffalo, man. And you know they're going to miss the playoffs by 1 point like they did last year. I mean, well,
of course they will.
I wish I could make that wager. I have to figure out what some bookie somewhere that will accept my money. They're not going to finish 5 points out of a playoff spot. They're not going to nail down a playoff spot. They're going to finish one singular point out of it, just to frustrate those loyal fans in Buffalo who have been pining and pining and pining for a return to the postseason.
I'll make it even more fascinating. They'll finish half a point out for the first time ever.
Somehow, if that was even remotely possible, they would figure out how
Buffalo
to do it.
Buffalo will lose by half a point. Now go back and think, where could we have picked up that extra half point? It was incredible. So you lose 4-3 to Anaheim, which is terrible, back on February 19th. And they dropped to 13th in the Eastern Conference standings. Last time I checked, the top 8 teams, right, get into the postseason. Since they've gone 8-3-1, and as you said, they're 3 points. It really defies logic. It really does. But I'm humming for them. I am, because
Me too.
Want them to play well, and we'll see where it goes.
And it's the New York Islanders are undefeatable, indefeatable, unbeatable, right? The New York Islanders can hit the skids as well. They've been playing quite well lately, but not super recently. So if they tumble a little bit, who knows what's going on with Tampa Bay? They've won a couple straight, but still, they haven't been unbeatable either this season. So it'll be interesting for sure.
Jake, this just in New Jersey, Jake Allen, the savior of the Devils, and the Devils are going to go on a huge, massive run. I'm just actually reading the headline in one of the papers as we speak. And then it goes on to say they're going to make the postseason after waiting so long for a goaltender that they finally found in Jake Allen. End of story. Read the back page.
What's extra funny about all of this? We're just talking about Buffalo. So is Jersey and Buffalo going to make the postseason?
Victoria? No.
Tampa
if
Bay?
If they do, I'm going to throw everything in. I'm done.
It was funny watching last night because, first of all, we've had to wait several days for Jake Allen because of customs reasons and immigration reasons. He had to get his paperwork together, which I don't understand how this is always, but it doesn't matter. So he's played in the States in the past. Doesn't matter. Anyway, they had to get the paperwork done. So we've been waiting and waiting. And Kaapo Kähkönen, the other new netminder for New Jersey, had his opportunity. He actually played pretty well in the loss to the Rangers. But we've been waiting. And then he comes out. And here we go. He's in between the pipes for the New Jersey Devils. He's going to make a statement. It's not his fault he was bad in Montreal. It's because the Canadiens aren't a good team. And he allows a goal in the first 15 seconds. And you're watching this game going, oh, no. This is going to go bad fast. And then you know what? He stops 35 of the next 36 shots. Yeah. The Devils win the game. Also, Dallas was awful. Ottinger got a hook. We'll talk about Dallas and their goaltending problems when we get to the West. But good on him. I don't think the Devils are going to... I don't think there's enough... Okay, let me put it to you that. There's not enough racetrack left, okay? The fact that they have a couple of...
Just say that they're not going to make it in. They're not.
I want them to make it interesting, though. I don't think they will either, but I do want them to make it interesting. And here are a couple of netminders who left true non-contenders in San Jose and in Montreal and at least have a shot. And if they're battling each other, you know what? We were making fun of Tom Fitzgerald a few days ago about this move. And he may end up looking like a genius.
I was making fun of him?
I think I was.
Oh, I ripped him.
Oh,
come on. Really?
I didn't know what direction you wanted me to take.
Went on a tangent. That's why I said off the top of the show, I'm like, okay, hold on a second. Let me just retract.
Right.
It's one game. There's not many stats the Devils lead or are close to the top of a statistical category in the NHL, but this one is. And I'm trying to pump the Devils as much as I can from the last pod because I didn't do them any favors whatsoever. They recorded their 21st comeback win. That was their 21st comeback win of the season, tying Dallas and Colorado for the league lead. So when you're up in the category with Dallas and Colorado. Anyway, you know what? I'm with you with it. Too much racetrack. Not going to be able to cover it. There's no way. There's no way that this team... Well, last one on this, and I was thinking about this just as you were talking. The Devils aren't a very good team in front of, I think, any goaltender. Jake Allen's not going to make a difference in how the Devils play. And we've seen so many teams, good teams, end up finding ways to win with a goalie who is not playing spectacular or who's not that good. So the Devils proved to me this season, yes, they've had injuries, all teams have, but they proved to me that this team is completely different than last year and that they're not as good for whatever reason or reasons because it doesn't matter. You can put a Vezina Trophy winner in goal. That's fine. But you should be put, you could be able to put a moderate, you can put a moderate goaltender in Boston, and I think they'll do okay. Same thing in Colorado. Georgiev's not been spectacular in Colorado, yet the Avalanche are winning. So the point is the structure of the Devils. And there I am ripping Tom Fitzgerald again.
They lost a couple of defenders in the offseason that ended up proving to be far more important than I think any of us considered. The loss of Dougie Hamilton has been huge. And also now going forward, and we're going to get to why this is the case in a couple of bits from now, but now Jonas Siegenthaler, another big key on their blue line, is out because he is brutally concussed. So it's true. The way that their blue line is made up right now, I think that makes it, gives us even more cause to be pessimistic going forward about them securing a playoff spot for sure.
No, it is. It is. You've been to a ton of sporting events. I've been to a number of sporting events, probably not as much as you have, but sometimes they have bobblehead giveaways and bobblehead nights, whether it's baseball, hockey, football, whatever it is. Well, how about this one? There's a real crime that's being investigated at the moment. The Penguins canceled. They had a promotional giveaway of Jaromir Jagr bobbleheads. I think it was Thursday, so it was yesterday. Somebody skated away with them all. Local and federal authorities are investigating. The shipment got got stolen. I don't know what 15, else to 000. Say about this.
18,000 bobbleheads were apparently stolen as part of a cargo heist.
Mm.
I'm still not sure what to make of this. I'm still not sure whether I 100% buy into this story, only because, and I know it's being reported by the Associated Press and all the rest of it, only because Pittsburgh released video immediately of Jaromir Jagr sitting in his car with a singular bobblehead in the passenger seat. And he speaks to the bobblehead and he goes, "We're going to go and find your friends." This video was released almost immediately at this store. So I'm asking now.
But doesn't that mean that he has one and he's going to go find the friends? He's going to go find the 17,999.
How did they put this all together so quickly? How did they put it together so quickly? Right?
Because
did
right away they found the Penguins announced. The Penguins as a team said, yes, it has been stolen.
Okay.
So if the Penguins are, if the Penguins as a team are lying, then what angle do you think do you think they took with this? Like what happened?
In terms of Okay, do I believe this is true or not? I don't know what to believe, whether or not this is
really
true. I'm a cynic and a skeptic.
That's good. It seems to me you don't have your head on straight.
No, yeah, it's bobbling away.
There you go.
Sure.
Yep.
I'm glad I caught on to that one, or else that
you did.
Really flat, but it was good.
Last one. We'll see what happens with that. The Matt Rempe thing. You and I got into it at the tail end of the podcast last time.
Carlson's comments. I want to talk about what Carlson
said. Oh yeah, sure.
Said.
Go ahead. Yes, go ahead.
So it was Erik Karlsson. Of course, we're sticking with Pittsburgh for a minute. Yep. Erik Karlsson was asked the other day. Apparently, there's some rumors floating around that he might at some point return to Ottawa in the foreseeable future and rejoin the Senators. And he was asked about this in the locker room, in the dressing room after the game. I believe it was last night. Maybe it was the day before. It absolutely doesn't matter. And his response was this.
Yeah, that's Canada for you. played there for a long time, so I kind of know how that game works. They got a lot of things to talk about every day because they got a lot of airtime, but very few things to actually discuss. So they like to make up these what if scenarios, and that's just the way it is, and it's not something that I really look into or worry too much about.
We're always talking up here in Canada, and we just don't have anything to say.
So
this is Erik Karlsson. How to alienate an entire country in 15 seconds 101.
That's how you do it.
That's how you do it. We're just up here blabbing, but saying absolutely nothing. This is all I have to say. I like Erik Karlsson as a hockey player. Maybe he should concentrate more on improving his team that is way out of a playoff spot right now, and concentrate on earning the very, very large sums of money that he's making playing for the Pittsburgh Penguins, despite the fact he's nowhere near the points total that he enjoyed in San Jose. I'm actually not even angry about this. I find it incredibly entertaining. But I also think it's very silly to say something like that and disparage an entire country in one fell swoop. But I did laugh. I laughed very hard when he said that.
I'm with you. Completely agree. And just imagine he does sign in Ottawa or some Canadian. Say he goes back to Ottawa. Say he gets in Ottawa. all the signs are going to be, hey, can you hear us? Oh, no, we have nothing to say. All this type of stuff.
Actually, anyway. I want to check. When's the next time that the Penguins are in Canada to face anybody? Do you know? Do you have it in front of you?
I don't know.
Hey, this is real radio.
I can look at that. In the meantime, I'm going to set up the Matt Rempe thing that we were talking about. And it was the end of the last podcast that we addressed it, but we ran out of time. And my whole discussion thing was about John Tortorella being John Tortorella being suspended the 2 games, fined $50,000. I brought up the whole point about, well, hold on a second, look at what Jacob Trouba did to, Trent Frederick with Boston that moment when he took the stick. Torts was suspended 2 more games and fined $45,000 more. So the whole point was that, yes, I know you can't talk to the ref and you have to set an example, all this type of stuff. But again, the 2-game suspension, that $50,000, very harsh based on all the other things that the league, I think, has let go. The one thing that has to stop, and I really hope it has, I really do. And we have talked negatively from the get-go about, at least I have, about Matt Rempe. I have. 21, 6 foot, 83 on skates. I know that's not a thing, but you know what I'm saying. Big boy, comes in the league, ton of fights. The last one, terrible hit, suspended 4 games. He waves goodbye to the Devils. Everyone's saying, you just don't do that stuff in your first year in the league. Peter Laviolette needs to have a chat with this individual and say, you know what? Enough is enough. Stop it. Vic, I don't have much else to say about that. I just think the whole Rempe train thing and all these fans cheering for him when he's stretching during the pregame, get your heads checked, people. I know you still like fighting. I know he's this thing. But at the end of it, to me, it's a really bad look for the game.
It is a very bad look. I think we both you and I texted about this at the time. We're both growing very tired of him already. And considering he's only been, it's been a cup of coffee in the league so far.
10 games and 56 minutes of action.
That's
56
what I
mean. Minutes of action.
He hasn't even played. He's been in 10 games. He hasn't even played an hour. I mean, that's ridiculous because he's constantly getting penalized. And now he's suspended for 4 games and rightly so. I would have given him 6. That's me, because now Jonas Siegenthaler, who we mentioned earlier with the Devils, can't play because his head is mushed. It's ridiculous. The fighting is one thing. You want to go out there and stage these fights and do your thing. It's not necessarily my cup of tea. I know some people enjoy it. Okay, they've got 2 willing combatants, I suppose. Go at it, what have you. But throwing your elbow into other people's heads and injuring them severely, or not injuring them severely, but injuring them, those hit. And when I watch that, I watch it in real time. I was like, are you swear word kidding me? Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. And he has been there for 2 seconds. First of all, there's 2 sides to this. I'm also worried for this kid. He's 21 years old and I know he is a big boy, but at the same time, he's going to have a bounty on his head big time. He can't line up against the Devils anymore this season. No. He can't. They're going to pummel him. Curtis McDermott is not going to ask him, do you want to go? Curtis McDermott is going to grab him and pound the living snot out of him. And I don't want to see that happen either. This all has to end. It is just spiraled, and this whole, he doesn't have respect. He's young. He's a rookie. I don't even care about the respect thing.
No.
I don't care if he's been in the league for 15 years. Don't throw your elbow into somebody else's head. Just be done with it. He needs a talking to from the coaches and everybody else. And I don't know, maybe go down to the minors again for a bit and just have a tour there and get something out of your system and then come back and figure out how to contribute as a hockey player and not a pugilist and not a dirty scoundrel. That's it.
He leads the team in penalty minutes and majors, despite not playing the first 4.5 months of the season.
That's wild. And it's
and
also
you know what?
Wrong. It's
that,
wrong.
That part of the game is not part of the game anymore. But now you're bringing it back. Shut it down. Let it go. And I told you this, and then we'll end it. I told you, I think after the first or second fight I think he had, I said, Peter Laviolette, it's on him. It is on him. It is. If the teammates are urging him on you, the coach, this is on you. It is, Peter. We'll see. East is done. West, we're coming up. We're talking about Thatcher Demko, Vegas, Colorado, Jake Gottinger, Arizona. New arena, maybe? We've heard that before. Pucks and 7, Ryan Payne, Tori Mattiash. We'll be back.
Welcome back to Pucks and 7 with Ryan Payne and Victoria Mattiash.
And we are back, Pucks and Seven, Ryan Payne, Victoria Matiash, presented by DamonBarber.ca. Once again, go to DamonBarber.ca to get 25% off all their fantastic products. Damon Barber Canada, DamonBarber.ca. We went east, we're going to go west. We'll talk Jay Gottinger, the Preds, Colorado. Minnesota, says Vic. Look out for the Wild, says me. That's the lineup. And we'll dive into Arizona in a second. But let's begin with Vancouver. You and I talked a little bit about them during the break.
Vancouver Canucks have a new starting netminder.
Right. That's a bit of a story.
Not by choice, of course. Thatcher Demko is nursing an injury, a fairly serious one that he's expected to miss several weeks. Hopefully not into the postseason, but they're not looking that far ahead. What we do know for sure right now is that Casey DeSmith is now the new number one. And fortunately for Vancouver as well, they have a stretch of 8 home games in a row with the day off in between. So they don't really have to worry about bringing necessarily somebody else in there to spell them off so far. And some people are panicking a little bit about this. No, the Canucks are going to spiral without Demko. And some people are like, actually, this team is so strong, they're going to be fine with the Smith. Where do you stand on it?
I'm more of, I think they'll be fine. Certainly, like Rick Tocchet said, after Demko was out, would he love to have him in net? Yes, of course he would. He'd love to have him in goal. I mean, this is a goaltender who certainly is up at the top, if not the Vezina Trophy, top candidate for that award. Look what he did the weekend. He marched 10th, 3-0, 0.81 goals against, 969 save percentage. You know, when he left that game, goalies will stay in the game for as long as they can, I think. But they, you know, if you and I were a goaltender, we would know. Humans know when they have something up with them. And when he left, the first thing I thought about was, okay, hopefully it's not too long. But that to me was a really red flag. So for Casey DeSmith, and he hasn't played a ton. So there's two things that's going to happen. Number one is he's going to get more playing time, obviously, and he's going to play well. He's going to play well. I'll let they're going to, you know, bring in who's a, well, I'm just Silovs. Trying to have some
vent. Arnturs Silovs.
Right. Yeah. And secondly, he will come in and he won't play as well. But I don't know if he needs to be great. Demko's been great. The teams in front of him has been great. And I've said this so many times when talking about good goalies in the NHL. There's great goalies, you need good teams in front of you. The numbers don't lie and they back things up. But for Vancouver, the attention to detail defensively that this team has been on this season is unreal. I saw this stat the other day, and they're 6th in goals against per game at 2.69. Last season, they finished 25th at 3.61. So two things with that. Again, I guess two's the lucky number. One is Demko playing better, and he's healthy. But secondly, I really think the defensive attention to detail is so much stronger.
It makes a big difference, 100%. Yeah. What I have a little bit more confidence in DeSmith than I think some people, not necessarily you, but some people do because of a couple of different things. Everything you just said. This is a quality team, and they play great defense. So there's that. Number two, he actually had to spell off and play 8 in a row last year with Pittsburgh when Tristan Jarry fell hurt. So this is not new. He's done this. And he did it for, we're going to call it, a lesser Penguins team. Last year's Penguins team,
of course,
not as good as today's Canucks. Or actually, he's in better condition for that too. And then when you listen to Rick Tocchet the other day, and I tried to find this audio, I really like it, but we're going to have to paraphrase instead. When he was asked if, you know, he has confidence in his netminder, I mean, first of all, what are you going to say? No, I'm really worried. I have no confidence in my backup whatsoever. Of course, he's going to say all the right things. And he did. No, everybody loves him. We really like this guy. You know, he's a big part of our team. He's going to be just fine. And then he said something quite candid that I appreciate that you and I have talked about and other people have talked about, but real coaches and players don't really say this out loud. He's really popular. Casey DeSmith is very well liked in that dressing room. The other players really like him. And then Rick Tocchet said, players tend to block more shots for goalies they like as human beings. For buddies, which isn't really how it should work.
No, it shouldn't
work. You might hate the guy. You need to block shots for them if you're a defender.
You sacrifice
your
body for your teammate regardless of whatever. Yeah.
But we also know that these are human beings, and this is probably true.
And it happens. It absolutely does.
And the other thing, he was actually pretty good the other day against Colorado. I know that they blew a 3-goal lead and they eventually lost, but he was pitching a shutout through almost 2 periods in that game against a very good, red-hot Avalanche team. So that instills a little bit of confidence as well. I think he's going to be just fine.
If I was playing defense on a team and you were in goal, when somebody would be coming down the ice and they would wind up for a shot, I'd be the one to lift my skate just so that I wouldn't block it for you.
Yeah,
I wouldn't sacrifice anything. I'm kidding.
Thank you.
Anyway,
thank you. Yeah. Very much. Warms my heart, Ryan.
I know it does. I know. I can just see it through the screen. You're oozing. You're oozing. Hmm. But Vancouver is they're fine. They're going to be fine. But the key thing in all this, I'm going to say this. I don't think they're going to win a Stanley Cup with Casey DeSmith. So let's hope Demko's back and hope he's okay. Hope he'll maintain that pace and the play, of course, in the postseason for Vancouver to get a huge run. Stanley Cup champions last season were the Vegas Golden Knights. They're not looking like the Stanley Cup champions, Vic, right now, especially in this month. You lose to Buffalo, Columbus, Vancouver. You beat Detroit. You come back to beat Seattle in overtime. And then you lose 4-1 to the Calgary Flames. What do you make of this team?
There's been some ugly ones recently, too. I mean,
awful.
They got blown up by the Buffalo 7-2 loss was bad.
6-3 to Columbus.
And that was right after the Buffalo loss. Yeah. I watched those games and I said, they're going to rebound.
You said that. I remember you said that to me. Yeah,
they are going to rebound like nobody's business.
Columbus has trouble scoring 6 goals in 3 games, let alone 1
it's
goal.
It's true.
Right?
And no, it's not looking very good right now. And I'm trying to figure out why exactly, because Jack Eichel is back. Other than Mark Stone, and I understand he is such a key part of that team, but they've won in the past without Mark Stone. Mark Stone has been hurt before. And the rest of that team, is it just maybe like before the trade deadline and after the trade deadline, everybody was a little nervy and now they're kind of figuring out their roles, because they do have 2 recent wins as well. I didn't like that loss to the Flames the other night, but they do have 2 recent wins. I still think this is a situation that this settles down pretty quickly. They've got the Devils coming up and then the Lightning. Those could be 2 W's, no problem for a very strong Vegas Golden Knights team. I think this is just an issue of getting back on track. Like we've seen with other good teams. We saw it with Winnipeg for a spell. Colorado went through it, right?
Yeah.
You see, Edmonton is famous for it this season. Either soaring or stinking. And they're just stinking right now. And they're probably going to stop stinking soon, because you look at that lineup, you look at that defensive core now with Noah Hanifin in it, and you look at everybody else and you're like, this is just going to be a minute and then they're going to be fine.
And if it wasn't for Nashville, who are 8-0-2 in the last 10, then we wouldn't be really thinking, okay, is Vegas in more of a concern to try to make the postseason? But I'll say this, Vegas on the right, and I don't put a ton of stock, as much stock as maybe some people do, into home records and away records when it comes to the playoffs, because I think you almost throw that out the window, because you can play 7 times in every series against the same team, and you would have, 2-2-1, whatever the format is, 2-2-1-1-1. But Vegas on the road, they're only 15-14-5. So when you're a championship caliber team, Edmonton's 19-13-1, some of the better teams in the National Hockey League. New York 20-11-4, Florida 24-9-2, Toronto 27-6. Again, I'm not saying that that's going to be a key thing when it comes to the postseason, but it's something that you would think that Vegas would be better off at in getting two points on the road.
I have a weirdo question about that exactly, because their home record obviously is so much better. That's why they're in the position they are in the standings, because if their home record was equal to their away record, they wouldn't be in that position. They wouldn't be in a playoff spot. Do you think that there's something to the fact that when other teams come to Vegas, it's Vegas, it's Sin City, they just get too distracted and there's too much going on, and that's why Vegas, who plays there every night, is more accustomed to it and they have such a successful home record? Do you think there's anything to it, or do you think it's nonsense?
My quick initial one, if this was year one of Vegas, I would say, yeah, I would say that's a pretty big thing. I don't think it's as much, but I will say this. I've been to a game in Vegas and it's very intimidating. They put on in just a ridiculous show, whether it's in the intermission, during a break, intro, whatever it is. But I don't think it's as much of a thing as it may have used to be. But I don't know. Where do you stand on that? Yes, no?
I'm not sure. I'm with you.
Okay.
I think maybe the younger players in their first trip, second trip, the lights, the glitz, you know, it's a pretty sexy town, man. And
no,
you want to get out and do stuff. And your coaches can't tell you. I mean, you can curfew people as much as you like. They're going to get out and they're going to see some sights when they're in the desert and there's nothing else to it.
No, that's true. Minnesota, you seem to be still behind this team. Don't shake your head because you.
I can't help myself. I can't help myself. Mm-hmm. As soon as I
convince me.
They're 4 points out of a playoff spot. They've won 3 in a row, and Marc-Andre Fleury is standing on his head.
Who did they beat last game?
I don't have it in front of me. The Ducks.
It doesn't matter,
but they have to win. You have to win whoever you're up against. It doesn't matter. It's not their fault, right?
Shame on you for beating a team.
It's not their fault they had an easier opponent. Boy, did the Ducks stink right now. We're not going to get into the Ducks.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, boy. Disaster.
8 goals in 6 games.
Yeah, 8 goals in 6 games
is very, very, one win. Very bad. Yeah. Very, very bad.
They gave up like 2 months ago.
They did. But they're now back to Minnesota. They're 4 points behind the Golden Knights that we were just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And they're 4 points behind the Los Angeles Kings, who are in, not in a wild card spot, but that's only because of the point differential. It doesn't matter. But they're 4 points behind two playoff teams right now. They have won 3 straight. Marc-Andre Fleury looks like his best self that we saw back in his heyday in Pittsburgh. He's getting the nod all the time now, and mm-hmm. for very good reason.
Which you need to do.
Oh, you can't. You're not going to give a start to Gustafsson until Marc-Andre Fleury falters, because you have to still. Every single point matters right now. So we're going to see. I know they keep on drawing me back in. As soon as I give up and I raise the white flag and I raise my hands in the air, I'm like, it's not your year, Wild. Same with New Jersey.
And Buffalo.
Throw and the Sabres in that pot, too. They just drag it. They do something to charm you, and they drag you back in. So in the next couple of weeks, we're going to see if it's going to go one direction or another. I know. That's great insight, Victoria. Thank you very much. It is going to go one direction or another, and we're going to see which direction it goes probably very soon.
Yeah, you pretty much covered everything there, right?
Did
it's going to go this way or that way. Hey, Vic, what do you think? Well, it's either going to go one way or the other. Okay, perfect.
Guaranteed it's one of the two.
That is someone's going to win. Next game, whoever Minnesota plays, one team's going to win.
Definitely.
I will say this. You talked about Fleury. He's been fantastic. The one thing that I think people may not realize is that, and this is a cool fact, since January 18th, Minnesota is at the top of the league in goals scored by their defenseman. Colorado was second.
That.
I would have not put Minnesota since the 18th. So we're almost 2 months. So that's almost 2 months. I know there's the All-Star break and all that stuff, but they're at the top of the league in goals scored. Colorado second behind Minnesota during that span. Pretty impressive.
I would have guessed Colorado for sure.
Absolutely.
If you look at that blue line compared to like Jonas Brodin and company. No, good for them though. That's great.
Let's move on. Speaking of Colorado, good segue. Didn't mean to do that. I just did. They're surging. First of all, Nate McKinnon, to me, is the MVP of the league. I know there's still ways to go, and there's a lot of other guys in contention and all that type of thing. Totally get it. But Nate McKinnon is the MVP. If I had a vote, I would do it now. I've said to you, I think, in the first segment when I talked about Georgiev not being really good. He's not been great this season for the Colorado Avalanche, but he doesn't have to be. That's how good Colorado is. They're a very strong team, and I'm very worried if I would play them at any round in the postseason.
They've won 5 straight now. McKinnon can't stop producing. He just can't. Every single game he's pitching in goals and assists, often plural. To your point now about how it doesn't necessarily matter in net. And I'm not taking anything away from Georgiev, because I think he's actually a pretty solid netminder. But he's solid. He's not necessarily spectacular. And it was interesting, ahead of the trade deadline and at the trade deadline, the Avalanche actually attracted a little bit of criticism, which seems silly now, for not pursuing another goaltender.
Yeah.
And putting all their eggs in the backup basket of Justus Annunen, who a lot of people won't even recognize that name. He's a talented young man. I think he's 23 or 24. Annunen, 23 or 24, drafted by the Avalanche as a goaltender for the future. But this is somebody that they were going to hand the baton to in seasons well beyond now. And now he's their number two, and he's playing much more often, and he's playing really well. And again, he's playing really well because of the skaters out in front of him. They post the points. They put the lead up. They play tough. They came from behind against a very good Vancouver Canucks team the other day. We were just talking about that. They were down 3-0, and they didn't give up. And Nathan McKinnon, it's almost like he puts the team on his back.
No.
And
it's
he
ridiculous.
Just carries it forward. I'm with you now. I was on the Kucherov train for a long time. I'm not necessarily disembarking entirely, but right today, if I had a vote, my heart vote would definitely go to Nathan McKinnon. I don't think there's any question of it right now.
No. McKinnon's on one-way ticket to Heart Station. Absolutely.
That's good. That's not bad.
You mentioned Georgiev, 25th in the NHL currently, with a 2.85 goals against. So there's a bunch of goalies that have played much better in front of him. Thatcher Demko, Jeremy Swayman, Stuart Skinner, Igor Shesterkin, Marc-Andre Fleury even has better numbers. But because he's playing behind a team which is just so good in Colorado. And speaking of, I just talked to you about Vegas's away record being 15-14-5. Colorado's away record 16-14-5.
Yeah, that's weird to me.
Strange.
I just think that's a thing.
And they
I don't
have 89
think it's a
points.
Thing. I just think it's a thing.
Yeah, it's a thing. It's a thing. It won't matter much in the postseason. Georgiev not playing as well, but Colorado playing well. Jake Oettinger.
Numbers
for him and the wins, losses really mask the fact that he's not having a very good season when it comes to his stature.
This is, we've been waiting because he hasn't played spectacularly since the fall. He hasn't been great since the fall. And this is after we watched what he was capable of, particularly last season, but in the past. And watching him and waiting, you've just been waiting. He's going to get it together. He's going to get it together. He's going to get it together. But he hasn't really had to because the Stars just outscore their opposition more nights than not. And I actually wrote, he was a feature of a fantasy piece I wrote on Thursday about how this is now somebody you have to think about letting go. If he's one of your fantasy netminders and look at somebody else like a Marc-Andre Fleury, somebody who isn't as popular, Freddie Anderson isn't getting as much love, that type of thing, right?
Okay.
Because as an Oettinger is just not doing it. And it's getting uglier and it's getting scarier as the weeks wear on because his numbers are now just, they're worse than Scott Wedgwood, who is the backup in Dallas. And that's not how it's supposed to work.
No.
And his analytics are even worse. They're bad, bad. So I said, you got to start thinking about making a move here. And that was hours before and it published hours before. He let in 4 goals on 10 shots.
Yeah.
In Thursday's loss. You can't be that person. And then he storms out because he got the hook, because of course he got the hook. And actually Scott Wedgwood came in and kind of sort of, he let in a couple, but sort of kept the team in the game for the rest of it. Doesn't matter. They still lost, but it was ugly with a capital U.
Yeah.
And the Dallas Stars, Ryan, as good as they are, and we have been singing their praises for weeks and months this season because they are terrific out front of the net.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't have a reliable netminder, they are not in that Western Conference. No, would they play Colorado or Winnipeg or some team like that in the first round? They're going to get smoked. They are going to get absolutely lit up if Oettinger doesn't figure it out really quickly.
25 wins and 42 starts for Oettinger. Now, that's not bad.
It's fine.
He had 37-61 last season, but here's the biggest difference. Last season, his GAA 2.37, now it's over 3. It's a 3.05. And the save percentage is below 900. But for Dallas, they continue to win. So everything is masked. And you're right. We've been waiting for him just to kind of, you know,
get your act together.
You're the Vezina guy each and every single season. That is who we think. And I think he has the talent to do that. I really do.
I wonder if something's bugging him. I wonder if something doesn't feel right. I don't know. But it's like if your groin isn't 100%, you're not the same netminder. If your back isn't 100%, you're not the same netminder. I wonder if there's something nagging going on there but they roll them out more games than not. So
I know.
And Wedgwood's been okay.
Yeah.
The analytics folks came out, you know, goals saved above average. That's sort of like an indicator of all things. And his is the pits. It's nearly like -7, which is just brutal.
Yeah.
Those are numbers for goaltenders on very bad teams. And the Dallas Stars are hardly a bad team. It's very concerning.
Yeah, it is. And there could be something wrong. There absolutely could be something wrong.
I wonder.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with the Nashville Predators. And maybe the biggest turning point of the season was the fact that Andrew Brunette and Barry Trotz and the rest of the team said, no, you're not going to go see U2.
I know.
In Vegas. That would be so weird. Imagine they going to win the cup. What's the turning point? Well, it was when I said, no,
nope,
you're not going to school today. You're staying home.
It's just wild.
Yeah, it is.
They have not failed to earn a single point. I phrased that brutally. They have earned at least 1 point, more often 2, in the 10 games since they did not go to the U2 concert in Vegas.
Yeah.
That is just, it's wild, man. They can't lose in regulation. They just can't, not right now. And it's great. It's great to watch. I love Philip Forsberg. So whenever he's having a good time, I enjoy it.
UC Soros hasn't lost a decision in regulation in a month. They destroyed Winnipeg, 12-0-2 in their last 14 games. I don't know. It's fun to watch. It's fun to see. And if they just keep this thing going, then there's going to be some teams.
One of those overtime losses was that weird one against the Wild when they pulled the netminder, right?
Well, that's right. Yeah.
That wasn't Minnesota even was four like on a three. Regular overtime loss. So they have lost one regular overtime game in their past 10, which is just, that's admirable as all get out.
Yeah, they're surging. They're playing well. Remember, a lot of people, too, were discussing before the deadline, maybe UC Saros was going to get traded and all this type of thing. But I know Andrew Brunette said the other game, I think, after his one of the wins, doesn't matter what, maybe practice, he was just speaking to the press. And he said that that guy just doesn't give up easy goals. I mean, he's just always in position, and that's the key. So they're all playing well.
That's what you want, man.
Last one. Arizona cleared to bid on land for a new arena.
We go again.
Hmm.
So there is, I think it's 95
acres.
Speaking
of, you're going.
Yes, I am.
There you go. So try to investigate this further. Report back to me. Next week, we'll have new intel on Pucks and Seven. Vic is on assignment to try to find this land.
I'm going to go scout the 95-acre tract of land in northern Phoenix where they're hoping to get permission to bid on. Now, it has to be a public bid. Like, you and I could bid on this land.
Sure.
I don't have the tens of millions of dollars to buy it. I don't know about you. But we're not in the position. But the Arizona Coyotes might very well be. And this is going to be a big one. I think this is the last one. Even Gary Bettman's like, you've got to figure this one out. You've got this. You have the opportunity to bid on it. They're willing to build a proper NHL-sized arena if they do get this land. Yeah. If everything comes together, Coyotes probably are not going to move in the immediate future. Now, even if they do get moved to like Atlanta or where have you, there's always going to be talk of the team coming back because the commissioner in the league is absolutely intent on them having a team. And they will. They will eventually, even if it leaves... If they leave for a bit, they're going to come back. But this might make it a little bit more seamless for them to stay. And it will be interesting to see. You just know there's going to be more drama. There's going to be some council vote. Somebody's going to protest or somebody's going to outbid them to build a parking lot or just there's going to be some ridiculousness that's going to be attached to it.
It's the never ending story. And what I hope that if they do keep the Coyotes in Arizona, they got to find a place. Not the land is one, but you got to find a place in Arizona that will, you can't stay in Mullet Arena for an extended amount
of time. I'm so excited though. I'm honestly, you've never been to Mullet Arena, have you?
No.
I don't think you have. Right. Neither have I. So I'm making my first visit on Saturday. I'm going to check out the Coyotes when they host the New Jersey Devils, me and 4,500 other people. I'm really looking forward to it because
that's
I've never
gonna be
seen
awesome.
An NHL game in such a intimate venue like that. So it's, I'm pretty keen on the whole thing.
You enjoy, you do the intel on the land. You find a place in Arizona that will be good for the team to move, a city, whatever it is. Just don't move to this city. I saw this on the map a number of months ago. If you moved the team to Tombstone, that would be the death of the team.
Oh, boy. I knew one was coming. I could smell it.
I don't think I've ever ended one with that. No. But we did. Okay,
it was
we're done.
Nice.
Hey, enjoy the trip. Have fun. Pucks and Seven, Ryan Payton, Victoria Matiash. Follow us on Twitter at Ryan M. Payton, at Victoria Matiash, on Instagram at PatesRP, at Matiash Victoria, and catch us wherever you get your podcasts on the SiriusXM app as well. And we're presented by DamonBarber.ca. Log on to DamonBarber.ca to get 25% off their fantastic product. Safe trip, Vic, and we'll talk to all of you again soon.
Pucks and Seven, brought to you by DamonBarber.ca. Available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.